We're looking tonight at Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, found on page 1160. And I'm beginning at verse 12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on your hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters and stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater the glory that lasts. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains. When the old covenant is read, it has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
How are you feeling, Chris?
Yeah, not too bad.
Ready for a new week?
A bit noisy, maybe. Yeah, usual Sunday night, you know.
Is it... busy one? Have you got a lot coming up this week?
Yeah. Some complex family stuff going on at the moment. School's getting really busy as year six productions, and everyone's a bit stressed. I got Connect on Thursday, Friday Club Friday. It's going to be a busy week, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that does sound like a lot, genuinely.
Yeah, yeah.
In this series on cross-shaped ministry, we've been learning that the idea that in all of those places, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's at work, whether it's at home in the family or in church here, you're not just kind of getting through the week. Actually, you're a minister of Christ. You're representing Jesus, which is a really incredible thing.
Mm. Yeah. But no pressure, though, right?
Yeah,
quite a lot as well.
That's exactly it, and that's why we're having this conversation. Because let's see what this looks like. So if you put this backpack on for me.
All right, okay.
Thanks, Chris.
What have I signed up for here?
There's quite a few of these coming.
Okay. Do we really need all of them?
Yep, definitely.
Okay.
There we go. So, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2 that every time you go into the world, like you go into the workplace, that you're actually a witness for Christ there, and the world might not actually want that, which is a weighty thing, and you're going to be going in there wanting to show integrity in all of your work, and that's hard. So let's pop a weight in there. Actually, it's quite hard, so let's pop two weights in there.
Yeah. All right.
How's that?
Yeah.
Also, you're a husband.
Yeah.
Mentioned kind of home life. This isn't a comment on Kayla at all.
No.
But that's a ministry, being a husband. And like, there are times where you're going to have to be patient, even when you're coming home.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Even when you're coming home really tired. So let's put two heavyweights.
Oh, I didn't choose these weights. That's all Andrew. Oof.
How are you doing?
Yeah, that's not very comfortable now.
Nope. Right. And you mentioned church responsibilities as well, and I know you've got loads of those, so another two weights there. And let me make sure they just don't fall out. So let's zip this up. Very good. Now, Chris, look at the church and be honest. Do you honestly think that you can carry all of those weights, responsibilities, ministries on your own for the next week?
Honestly, not a chance.
Well, thank you very much for being honest, Chris. I will, I'll take that.
Cheers.
And you can go back to your seats. We might see a little bit more of Chris later. Thank you. That really is heavy. Now, friends, if you feel a similar strain to the one that Chris was carrying right there, you're not doing it wrong. You've simply realized how weighty a cross-shaped life, a cross-shaped life of ministry actually is. We kind of think sometimes that the weight is just stress, but Paul tells us that for a Christian, the weight is actually something far deeper. And we're going to see that this evening. Tonight we're going to look at how God makes us equal to the task of carrying those heavy weights of the ministries that we are all involved in. And we're going to see that in 3 points this evening. We're going to see the weight of responsibility, we're going to see the weight of glory, and we're going to see the source of competence. So firstly, the weight of responsibility. We tend to think of Paul as like a spiritual superhero, a man who could walk into any city and be completely resolute to his purpose, filled with confidence and iron nerves. But actually, if you look at verse 12, it starts kind of differently. He goes to a place called Troas to preach the gospel, and the Lord had actually opened a door for him. And that's every missionary's dream. It's a wonderful chance where people are receptive to hear the good news. But if you look at verse 13, Paul says, I still had no peace of mind. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. Paul is actually walking away from an open door, an open goal for ministry, if you will, because he's feeling overwhelmed. If we fast forward it on a little bit later in 2 Corinthians, he gives a bit more detail in chapter 7. And he says, he admits even, that when he got to Macedonia, his body had no rest. He was harassed at every turn. There were conflicts on the outside and there were fears within. I wonder if you see how human that is, that even Paul himself was weighed down by fears within, weighed down by anxiety for his friends in Corinth, distressed over his partner in ministry, Titus. He's so weighed down that he feels unequal to the open door of opportunity that was right there in front of him. It's like he's standing in Troas and just saying, I can't do this right now. But then he pivots in verse 14 and he gives us an image that completely redefines both his struggles in Troas and the sort of struggles and weights that we go through as well. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. And to understand what Paul's talking about there, we kind of need to understand what a Roman triumphal procession was like. When a general won a massive victory, he would lead a grand parade all the way through the streets of Rome. And the general would sit in a chariot right at the front. There'd be soldiers behind the general. But Paul doesn't put himself either in the chariot or in the marching ranks. Actually, he puts himself right at the back of the procession with the captives. In a Roman parade, the captives were the people who'd been conquered. They were weak, they were in chains, they were often suffering. And along the parade route, incense was burned in massive quantities. To the victors, that smell was associated with life and glory. But to the captives themselves, that very same smell was associated with death. Because at the end of the parade route, they knew what was going to happen to them. They were all going to be executed. The very smell that meant victory to the crowd also meant the end for the captive. And Paul is saying that as we follow Jesus, we are dying. Our ego, our plans, our ambitions are dying. And to the world around, that looks like a tragedy. It looks and it smells like a scent of death. But to those of us who know Jesus, we know that dying to self is the true way to find eternal life. So here's the cross-shaped secret. Paul is saying that his struggles in Troas, his fears within, his weaknesses don't mean that he's fallen out of the parade. Actually, it means he's exactly where a captive belongs. In God's kingdom, the aroma of Christ doesn't come from perfect performance. It doesn't come from super successful ministries. It comes from us being conquered by Jesus. When you go to work tomorrow, and when you fear those fears within, not necessarily work, maybe the anxiety of parenting, it could be any number of things. And when you feel all that pressure, when you feel all that weight, and still choose Jesus, you are releasing the aroma of Christ. Your struggle is like a jar of perfume being smashed so that the scent diffuses everywhere. People aren't going to see a religious superhero in that type of witness. They're going to see a captive of Christ whose peace isn't dependent on circumstances. But the thing is, we have to see the weight of this responsibility. This witness has eternal consequences. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul says that we are the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. So to some, you are the fragrance of life. Your cross-shaped response to suffering, the way you forgive, the way you keep on serving, even when you're tired, that will be the very thing that draws a neighbor, a friend, a family member to Christ. You're the fragrance of life. But to others, you are a fragrance of death. Your integrity to them is going to feel like a judgment. Your faith is going to feel like an unwanted light in a dark room. Your true words, said with love, are going to be twisted and misinterpreted. And that person's going to say no to Jesus as a result. You're a fragrance of death. Now let that sink in. Every interaction we have this week, whether that's in the office, at the gym, in the kitchen, has eternal consequences. We're dealing with matters of heaven and hell. So Paul looks at us, fellow ministers doing ministry in very, very different ways, all of us with this heavy weight of responsibility, and he asks the question in verse 16, who is equal to such a task? Who is equal to such a task? Who can carry the weight of someone else's eternity? Who can carry the weight of eternal consequences when we ourselves are struggling, when we ourselves are tired, when we ourselves are battling with our own fears within? And the answer to that question is just silence. Because no one is equal to that task. None of us are equal to the ministries that God has put in front of us this week. Not one. But secondly, we're going to look at the weight of glory. And we're fast forwarding to chapter 3, verse 7 to 18. Many of us already feel what Chris was visualizing for us and what I've been describing. We feel the weight of responsibility in our different ministries, whether in work, at home, or in church. But Paul now changes our perspective on why it feels so heavy. In these verses, he takes us from that Roman street and instead goes to Mount Sinai. He tells us that the tension that you feel in your life isn't just the stress of a busy schedule. It's actually the weight of glory. So in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the word for glory means weight. To have glory is to have heaviness. So to all of us here, after quite a few Christmas dinners, we're actually more glorious in January than we were in December. But to show us, to show the weight of glory, Paul points us to Moses. When Moses spent time with God on the mountain, he came down with a face that was so bright that it literally shined. And that shining was so intense that the Israelites couldn't look at it. So Moses put a veil over his face. But Paul points out in these verses a staggering contrast. He calls the ministry of Moses, the Ten Commandments written on stone, he calls it the ministry of death, a ministry that brought death. He says that if that ministry was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry of the Spirit? So now, as God's people, whether our ministry is in the home, in the office, in church, your ministry is glorious. And here's the really important shift in perspective that all of us need when we feel that weight. We often think that the weight of our Christian life is a sign that something's wrong. We think, if I was a better Christian, then it wouldn't feel quite so heavy. But Paul says the exact opposite. The weight you feel is actually the weight of glory. Think about the difference between this bag, which is probably 20, 25 kilograms. Imagine if that's 20, 25 kilograms of rubbish. I'm not really going to appreciate this very much. But instead, what if this is 20 to 25 kilograms of solid gold? I'm going to think very differently about that weight, aren't I? It weighs exactly the same. But my perspective on that weight completely changes. In cross-shaped ministry, our perspective on what we carry shifts in two ways. It shifts from the fading to the permanent. I'm still saying that wrong, but I'm going to press through. Look at verse 13. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Actually, Paul says Moses wore that veil because the glory was coming to an end in that ministry. He was carrying a weight that was slowly disappearing. He didn't want people to see that. And many of us kind of live like that, trying to maintain a glow that's slowly fading away. But Paul says in the new covenant, the glory is increasing. The weight you carry today is making you more glorious as you become more like Jesus. So our perspective is shifting from the fading to the permanent. Still not sure about that, tell me afterwards. And our perspective is shifting from performance to presence. Moses' glory came from a law outside of him. Our glory comes from the Spirit who lives within us. Paul says in verse 18, these glorious words, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." When you're exhausted by the weight of life admin, or the weight of being a person of integrity in the office, you're not just enduring, you are reflecting. You're a mirror. As you look at Jesus, the one who bore the ultimate weight of the cross, his glory is starting to shine, reflect off you as well. So the task remains weighty. It does. The weight hasn't changed, but it has become more glorious. Not only are we captives in that procession, but we are also mirrors reflecting the Lord Jesus. The burden of, I've just got to get through this, I've just got to do this, has now been replaced by a really beautiful thing of, as I'm doing this, I'm becoming more like him. That's wonderful. Paul looks at that backpack that was on Chris's shoulders and says, yes, it's heavy, but don't you see? It's not rubbish. It's gold. It's an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond all comparison. Third point, the source of competence. And Chris, could you come up for a second again? Thank you very much. Let's pop this on. Just stand there and struggle for a while, please. Yeah. Thank you. We've seen the weight of responsibility in point one. We've seen the weight of glory in point two. And we're looking at the source of competence now. How do we do it? How does Chris walk into Monday morning? The world might tell Chris, you just need to believe in yourself, dig deeper, try a bit harder, find your inner strength. But look at chapter 3, verse 5. This is the heart of the sermon. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. The word for competent there is the very same word that Paul used in the question earlier. That question, who is equal to such a task? Who is competent for such a task would be just as fitting. So, who is it? No, who is equal to such a task? God makes us competent. God makes us equal. So, Chris, the reason you don't feel like you're able to carry this bag for another week, this weight for another week, is because you are not able. You are not competent. You were never meant to be. But in a second, in the old covenant, the law was written on stone. It was outside of us. It was a list of demands that sat heavy on our shoulders. And in that way of doing things, you'd be hopeless. You wouldn't be able to do anything. But in the new covenant, the cross-shaped ministry, the Spirit of the living God writes the law on our hearts. And so, it looks a little bit like this. Chris, you're still wearing the straps. But does that feel a bit better?
A lot better, yeah.
Do you feel like you could do another week like that?
I do.
I'm not sure I can do this illustration for much longer. Let's take that off. You can take your seat. Thank you very much, Chris. I'm glad this stage is, like, solid. This is what Paul is talking about. The weight of responsibility hasn't gone anywhere. Chris is still a husband. He's still an employee. He's still an aroma of Christ. The weight of glory hasn't gone anywhere. We're still being transformed. But the competence to carry that weight, it comes from the Spirit who lives within us. Ministry is cross-shaped because it's fueled by a power that only shows up when we admit we're weak. When we stop trying to veil our inadequacy. When we say instead, Lord, I can't do this week. I'm not equal to the task. At that point, the Spirit steps in and said, yeah, but I am. You don't get competent by working harder. You get competent by beholding. Verse 18 again. How are we transformed? By contemplating, beholding the Lord's glory. When you spend your life looking at the cross, looking at the one who carried the ultimate weight of our sin so we wouldn't have to, that is life-changing. We stop trying to work harder to achieve a status, a competence, a whatever, and we start trying to reflect a person that we love. And that's completely different. So as you prepare for tomorrow morning, let's do a bit of a weight audit. What is the weight that's making you tremble tonight? Is it the weight of a ministry role you feel unqualified for? Is it the weight of a marriage that's struggling? Is it the weight of being the only Christian in your friendship group? Hear the word of God to you tonight. You are not equal to that task. You're not. And that's wonderful news. It is wonderful news. Because the moment we realize that and stop trying to be sufficient in ourselves, that's when we start relying on the Holy Spirit and the power and the competence that God provides. So tomorrow morning, when you feel that backpack getting heavy, don't try and stand up straighter. Look at Jesus. Remind yourself, my competence comes from God. He has made all of us ministers of a new covenant. He has given us his Spirit. He has invited us into a procession that ends in victory, even if there's an awful lot of suffering along the way. You are not equal to the task, but the God who is in you is. Let's pray. The musicians are going to come up to the front, and we're going to take a moment just to pause and take in what the Lord is saying to us. Father, please don't let this word pass us by. Father, please soften our hearts to respond. Father, we thank you for the all-surpassing glory of Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to behold him now, unveiled, glorious, as he is. Lord, please visit us. Make your presence known to us as we sing your praise now. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing of the glory of the Lord.